I think it would be rather dangerous, perhaps blasphemous, to make jokes about the Holy Trinity, wouldn't it, in itself? Mind you, I had a joke about the three in one, but I won't tell you it because it's rather oily. For younger viewers, there used to be a brand of oil called three in one. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you reveal yourself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we know more of your greatness and more of your love and power and joy and glory are transmitted to us. Help us to enjoy that and to honour you in all our ways. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, Trinity Sunday, it's the only major feast of the church that doesn't celebrate an event like Christmas or Easter or Ascension or in Pentecost, but it celebrates not a fact, but a truth, a glorious truth about God. Because, as I hope we'll see, God in Trinity is a much stronger concept than a lone mono-God. The various symbols being used to try and represent the Trinity, that one there is quite good. The outside of it, without the pictures, is something like our theological college time. I say our because Richard and I went to the same theological college, though not at the same time. there are various other symbols that could be used. The famous shamrock by which St. Patrick is supposed to have explained the Trinity to the Irish, and various other ones there. For those in church, I don't think those at home will be able to pick this up, I'm sorry, but I'll get my ancient visual aid out, which is also other symbols, the equilateral triangle, the three-legged stool, which is more stable than other types. I don't know what the last one was. Oh, yes. a mathematical one. It's not 1 plus 1 plus 1, because that would equal to 3, but it's 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. Right. If you like mathematics. Obviously, not many of you do. We've already had this gentleman's hymn this morning, Reginald Heber. He became Bishop of Calcutta and died in his early 40s. But before that, he was a vicar in Shropshire, and he wrote the hymn Holy, 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 especially for Trinity Sunday. This hymn stresses the holiness of God. I don't think the Holy, Holy, Holy is a sign of the Trinity. In the Hebrew, it actually means holy is very holy, holy, holy is extremely holy, and holy, holy, holy is more holy you can possibly imagine. That's what God is. But it also stresses God's mercy and love too. Now, the Holy Trinity, I think it's safe to say, is not the most popular subject for a sermon, either with the congregation or with the preacher. But it's actually one of the greatest subjects for a sermon, because it speaks of the full majesty of God, the Lord God Almighty. Trinity, or triunity, three in one, is how the Godhead is, how the Godhead exists. A community of divine persons, a community of divine love, divine joy, divine glory. Monsignor Roderick Strange, writing in the Times yesterday, said, "The Trinity teaches us how to love." It's a reflection of God's love, teaches us how to love. So the Trinity is an expression of God's love, joy and glory. It expresses it. God is love, St. John tells us in the first epistle, 1 John 4. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us in Galatians 5. And Jesus shares his glory with the Father in John 17. And really all proper human virtue, all proper human love and joy and glory come from the Holy Trinity. They come from the love, joy and glory of God the Holy Trinity. Let's consider just some of what each of the three divine persons brings to us. God the Father, first of all. God the Father is the creator, the prime mover. He is the source of everything good. He is our loving Heavenly Father. He's not a remote, impassive deity, as some have depicted him. But God cares and God loves. The Old Testament shows that. I've loved you with an everlasting love, he says in Jeremiah 31. So does the New Testament. The Father himself loves you, Jesus told his disciples in John 16. Christian songs say much the same. How deep the Father's love for us. How fast beyond all measure that he should give his only Son, etc. How marvellous God, the prime creator, loves himself, loves you and me. We call him, as Christians, we call him God the Father. He's not the Father of everyone. He's the creator of everyone, but he's only the Father, really, of those who receive his Son. To those who receive him, he gave the power to become children of God, says John in the prologue to his Gospel. So he is the Father of those who accept Christ. And together with the Son, as Hebrews tells us, the Father is the sustainer of the whole universe. He keeps things going. And he's a great giver, the giver of all things. Of course, his best gift being his Son, Jesus. The Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world, 1 John. Now we have God the Son. God the Son is the Word of God, present from all eternity, with God from all eternity. John, first chapter of John tells us that again. Made flesh at the right time, just at the right time, as Jesus Christ. And all that Jesus is to us, and that is preached upon at St. Mark's Sunday after Sunday, all that Jesus is to us, he is with the encouragement of God the Father and by the enabling of God the Holy Spirit. As the Word of God, the Son of God is not a created being. The JWs are wrong about that, I'm afraid. He's not a created being, but he existed from all eternity. He was begotten by the Father. The creation was made by the Father, but through the Son. As the incarnate Son, Jesus lived and then died for us and for our salvation, as we say in the Creed. He was then raised from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 1. He is now with the Father, preparing a home for us and interceding for us at the Father's side. And he will return to earth as judge of the living and the dead. Then there's God the Holy Spirit. He's called in the Bible various titles. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Sonship. Most of those in Romans 8. He's eternally God. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. according to Western church thinking, or from the Father through the Son, according to Eastern church thinking. Don't worry too much about the difference between those two at the moment. Had 1,000 years of that. The Holy Spirit inspired the scriptures. He both inspired the original writers and he inspires us as we read them. The understanding, to understand them and apply them rightly. And he strengthened Jesus at various times, such as his baptism and before his suffering. He comforts, that is, strengthens us and guides the church. That's John 14. He guides the church into all truth. He's the giver of spiritual life. So the Father, Son, and her Spirit are all God, but they are one God. Just going back a bit for a moment, if you look at the diagram on the right-hand side, I don't know whether you can actually read it, but it says the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are all God, but the Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father. They are not the same, but they are all God. We must try to avoid the true classic extremes of heresy about the Trinity. On the one hand, saying that all the persons are making the persons all too much the same, so really you've only got one God, or making them too different, you've got three gods, which of course also is wrong. Now the phrase Holy Trinity is not in the Bible, but the reality of it is. Not just in the proof texts, such as Matthew 28, the Great Commission, which we had just now, the baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or 2 Corinthians 13, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. But also in passages such as Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, and Romans 8, 12 to 17, which we had this morning. And perhaps in John 14 too. So various passages, the reality of the Trinity comes out, even though the words Holy Trinity are not there. God being a Trinity, a community or fellowship in himself, has consequences for us believers and for the world. First of all, it tells us that fullness of life is not found in lone isolation, but only found in community. God himself is a community, and that transmits fullness of life. The Trinity, the community of the Trinity, is the basis of God's revealing himself to the outside, to us. God's communicating to believers. And the fact that God is a Trinity, a community, suggests that the diversity, the marvellous variation found in nature, in creation, and also the variation in various Christians. So I look at you, you're all rather different from one another. You're all the same worshipping God and Christians, but the diversity of spiritual gifts in the church. They are both those things, it suggested, spring from the nature of God as Trinity. How did the early disciples then experience God as Trinity? Well, we have to remember that they were Jews. They were brought up as believers in the one God, monotheists. But as they got to know Jesus, saw some of his miracles, and listened to what he said, they were compelled to realize at various stages that Jesus was also God in some way. And he spoke of God as his Father in a way that they hadn't done. And later, especially after Pentecost, they knew also that the Holy Spirit was God within them, and God enabling them to speak out boldly. How do we experience the Trinity? I think there are several ways we can. do so. In our prayer, first of all, some of us pray instinctively to God the Father, many of us do. Some pray to Jesus, to God the Son. A few pray instinctively to God the Holy Spirit. And we may pray at different times to different members of the Holy Trinity. We're still praying to the one God. And as we pray to the one, we're probably vaguely inside, sort of slightly aware of the other two. And so we may become aware of the Trinity in our prayer. Also in our Bible reading, maybe speaking about God the Father, what God has done in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. It may be speaking about Jesus, about God the Son. But it's the Holy Spirit who brings that reading alive to us. So we may experience the Trinity in our Bible reading. Also, in the sacrament, in the receiving of Holy Communion, like at this service. When we receive the bread and wine with faith, sorry, it's only bread at the moment, but you know what I mean. When we receive the bread and wine with faith in our hearts, we are receiving, knowing God as our Father, we're receiving strengthening through Jesus who died for us and through the Holy Spirit. So in receiving Holy Communion, we can also experience the Holy Trinity. And rather spoiling the three, I've got 4 points, haven't I, here? In true Christian fellowship too, we can experience God as Trinity in the various activities we do together and when we pray for one another. So our God is one God, but in a Trinity that makes God a richer reality than otherwise. Praise his holy name. Amen.